Good Monday, everybody. Welcome in. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We're streaming on The Game Nashville app. Hope you're having a great start to your day. Willie Donick is back from Europe as he walks in the studio. Derek Mason's here.
Willie.
I'm the suit.
Oh, Willie D.
Willie D. What a day it is. The Nashville Predators are the best team in the NHL, coming back from Europe with 4 points. The Titans get the win to move to 3-2. Nashville SC's in the playoffs. Life's good in the Music City.
It's wonderful. What place, what other city would you rather be in right now?
Prague?
Somewhere
warmer.
Yeah.
Maybe
Mexico?
Cabo?
Well, Cabo. Let's go to Cabo.
Yeah,
let's go to Cabo. Mexico's Cabo. Country.
Cabo would be good.
Yeah, Cabo would be great right about now.
Cabo with a couple of drinks in each hand, a couple of girls on each arm. The suit be living hot.
Are they friend zone girls?
Hell no, I'm on vacation. Suit coming in hot this morning.
Woo. Okay.
Oh, man.
Willie, welcome back.
This is what you step into, Willie.
Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready to step into it.
Okay. All right. Let's do this, man. It was a great weekend of football, great weekend of hockey. Preds win. Titans win. Vols win.
Yeah,
I thought Vandy was going to, and then Ole Miss said, you know what, we're done playing.
Yeah.
And they scored a bunch of points.
Ole Miss, pretty good team.
Yeah, they are.
Ole Miss, pretty good team. But a lot to get into today, but let's start with the Two-Tone Blue and the Tennessee Titans. I wanna start by asking a question to both of you guys. And the team, and I heard Robbie and Joe discuss this, that the team basically picks up the personality of the head coach. And I'm sure you can speak on that, of when you play for the Titans – they kind of had the personality of Jeff Fisher. When you played for the Ravens, it was Brian Billick, and then it was John Harbaugh. I mean, that seems to be a pretty general thing that happens with any team at any level. The personality of the head coach, that's the culture. That's where the team goes. Mm-hmm. So Mike Vrabel does have that win at any cost, a win's a win, just do what you got to do to get it done. And I think that's obviously fantastic. But how long can this team skirt by with that? And I'm not taking anything away from they've won 3 in a row. They're 3-2. They're well in the division race going into the off week. And I think that's fantastic. But I think we will all agree that they've played with fire in every game outside of Buffalo this year. Mm-hmm. And how long can just being happy to win get you by?
I don't know. This team did whatever they needed to do to win the ball game yesterday. Washington, they were a bad team, and with a bad quarterback, without their number two receiver, going against the Titans, that it's a okay team. With a makeshift offensive line at this point, at least on the left side. And they had to replace Nate Davis because he was hurt. The defense did just enough to win that ball game yesterday. But to answer your question, Chase, I don't know how long they can last with this type of play. I was listening to the guys this morning, and they were like, well, you got to give Ryan Tannehill credit. For what? I don't give him credit for anything. They're paying him $20-something million. He's doing the job they're asking him to do. He's not turning the ball over. That's what they asked him to do. Just don't turn the ball over. We'll figure out a way to win. And they have. And like you said, Chase, they have taken on the personality of their head coach. Win at all costs. It's sort of like, the team or the team with a bunch of injuries, or the team that go up against, the best team in the world, and somehow, some way, they managed to keep it close and then figure out a way to pull it out at the end. That's the Tennessee Titans. They haven't fixed their second half woes. Just because they scored 7 points on basically a Hail Mary to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Great catch by Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, too. That was a very difficult catch. But beside that one play, they still are having the same problems. The only saving grace is they're playing bad teams right now. And I don't know how much longer they can keep this up. Maybe they can keep it up until everybody start getting healthy, Willie. I don't know. And if they do that, then that's good for them. But right now, I don't know how much longer they can continue to play okay, subpar football against bad teams that barely win.
I don't think it's bad teams. I think there are a ton of teams. Probably.
Man, Washington's bad. The Raiders are bad. And who else did they beat?
The Colts.
The Colts are bad.
I don't think. Well, then everybody's bad, because look at all the teams that are sitting there 2-3 or 3-2. There's a lot of bizarre. The Giants are 4-1. We thought the Giants were bad. The Giants are 4-1. We thought the Jets were bad. The Jets have now won some games. Like, this is, the league is weird.
The league is fun.
But see, that's why I hesitate to say, and I would say it the other way too, Derek. Who's good? Rams? Rams good? They're 2-3. Bengals? No. They good? They're 2-3. They got problems. The Ravens, we all think, are pretty good. Uh-huh. They just barely got to 3-2. I mean, it's just so close. So there's a lot of
Ravens,
like,
are hard to figure
let's
out.
Let's not be fooled. Let's try to keep the big picture. In this league, everything's designed for everybody to be about equal. And that's why I fall back on this, to your question, Chase. The Titans are one of the best coach teams in this league. That's the only
way
they're
winning. That's
their
saving grace.
That's the only way they're winning. Name me a guy outside of Derrick Henry, to all of you listening, not just everybody in this room, has anybody put a Titan in their fantasy league offense other than Derrick Henry? Does anybody put somebody? And if you did, it's probably because one of two reasons. Either you're a huge Titans fan.
Just a homer.
Yeah. Or two, you play in about an 18-team league.
That you were forced to get him.
And you play like 6 wide receivers in your lineup.
I think I have Robert Woods, but I haven't played.
This is what I'm saying. Like, if you've put, without buys and everything, I'm telling you, you are not putting a Titan in your team other than Derrick Henry. And they're making it work. Because they're smart game planning, and I'm telling you right now, the fire Todd Downing signs need to come down. The thing on social media,
yeah, is that
give
still
the
up?
Guy some credit.
Look,
okay,
he's done a pretty good job.
Stop with all of that. Okay, the guy's doing a decent job. I'm not saying he's a wizard. Mm-hmm. He's not a Jedi master or anything, but he's doing okay with what he has to work with. Same thing with Tannehill.
Yeah,
they could not protect him yesterday, and they found a way to get enough points. The red zone, you know, they're key calls at key times. The whole thing we laugh about, you know, the cliches about complimentary football. I thought really that was how they won yesterday. They played complimentary football. Mm-hmm. They didn't screw it up. And they allowed a team like Washington that hasn't won a lot, that is still trying to figure out how to win, to do just enough to you know, screw it up.
Carson Wentz is bad.
Yeah,
Carson Wentz is bad.
They allowed Carson Wentz over time. They bent, they bent. They waited for it.
Yeah.
And he made just enough mistakes to I mean, all these games could go the other way, right? I mean, the Titans are 3-1. Or they've won three straight. Yep. They've won three straight in that really close category we talked so much in the preseason. 13-4 in one score games. They're 3-1 this year. They really easily could be 4-0, right? If everything falls into place, it's hard to do that.
Or they could be 0-4.
But it's that thing we were talking about in the preseason. Is it because they're lucky, which is what the analytics people would have you believe some, or is it because they're just well coached and they know how to win the close games?
I think it's a bit of both. In this game, you got to have some luck, regardless of how well you're coached. You got to have things that bounce your way. You know, this team. That's really their only saving grace, and I spoke on this. This is the difference between them and everybody else in their division, is that everybody in their division is trying to put still. It seems like everybody's still trying to put their roster together, and they're still trying to figure out pieces. the Titans are still trying to figure that out, but they got the best coach in the division and one of the best coaches in the AFC. So those close games, he's going to find a way to either make a call on offense or make a call on defense to win a football game. That's just what he's going to do.
Breaking news out of the National Football League. We have our first firing. Matt Rhule has been fired as the head coach for the Carolina Panthers.
11-27.
No surprise.
Yeah, that's I was surprised they hired him in the first place.
Yep.
You know what's funny is a lot of the college football people are reporting this. Schefter has it, but obviously with his ties to college football. But, yeah, Matt Rhule has been fired as the head coach of the Carolina Panthers, and we'll see where he lands in college football because I would imagine that's he's going back there. He probably should, and we'll see who the Panthers can find to be their next head coach.
They have gone with Steve Wilks, who was a finalist for the Titans job when Mike Vrabel got the job. He was a finalist.
And remember, he had 1 year as head coach in Arizona. They fired him and hired Kingsbury.
Yes, yeah. But this is something – now, let's hope. Remember that the Steve Wilks hiring and firing was used a lot during the time that the lawsuit came up, the whole thing out of Miami. And why am I blanking on his name, the coach that entered the lawsuit, the coach that I thought was doing a good job in Miami? Brian Flores. That was used as an example how, you know, there was whole thing about how do we get the system better. But one of the things that came up is you should be allowed to work yourself through some situations. Steve Wilks, 1 year and gone. I mean, that's not a whole lot of time to do
that's
things.
That's no time to do anything.
So I'm glad he's getting a second chance. Not all
default.
These guys get a second chance. And yes, and this isn't the easiest situation
exactly.
to step into. So
absolutely.
How much time is he going to get to work things out?
Well, we'll see. He got, 13 more weeks somewhere around there.
He's got a little time.
Yeah, he has a little time. Yeah, but, you know, this Titan team, I'm still trying to figure out, other than the head coach, I'm still trying to figure out who they are.
Well, I think they're trying to figure that out, too. We'll discuss that coming up next because I think that's a fantastic question. Who the heck are the Tennessee Titans? 615-737-1025. You can call or text on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, as we react to a huge weekend. Titans win, Preds win, Vols win. It's all on the table today. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. But first, Willie D, you have a word on QC Kinetics.
All right, let's talk QC Kinetics. QC Kinetics has been doing great things in our listening area here. In the past year or so, they have really started to grow. They now have 3 locations in our listening area, which is fantastic. When you take a look at it, they've tripled in size. They've got offices now in Clarksville. We have a ton of listeners, I know, over in Clarksville, and also in Murfreesboro. So I know there's one near you. Of course, they've got one in Nashville as well, as they have since the beginning. So if you've got pain in your knees, hips, shoulders, back, whatever the joint issue is, and you can't shake it, and maybe you've even tried some of the traditional methods, and it's not happening for you, take a look at QC Kinetics and their regenerative medicine treatments. They use natural biologics. These are healing agents from your own body to restore and repair the damaged joint tissue. So this is something that pro athletes have had access to for years. Now it's available to all of you out there. So check it out. It's a free consultation with QC Kinetics, 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics. That's 615-249-4024.
Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. Streaming on The Game Nashville app, 615-737-1025. Nick Kieser behind the glass. We'll talk to Teron Davenport coming up at 11, our weekly conversation with him. Get his thoughts on the Titans. Plus, Mike Vrabel will speak to the media at noon. All of that coming here on the show. But the identity of the Tennessee Titans, Derek just asked. They're still trying to figure out who they are. I don't know who they are.
I know who they are. Okay,
who are they?
Willie knows.
Because this is, I think, the best thing they've got going for them, right, is they do have an identity. They do have continuity. They're a well-coached team. that plays complimentary football, but also part of this is they don't have a lot of weaponry right now. They're doing a tremendous job stretching what they do have, and at the end of the day, I think it's what we've been saying. They're very limited. I don't see this as a team that can go head-to-head with the Bills in a playoff game in Buffalo and pull off a win, kind of like a few years ago when they went to the number one seed in Baltimore and crushed them, right? I don't see that. I don't see this team being able to get there right now. But I see a well-coached team that's going to claw and scratch and compete and be right around 10 wins. Now, this is the week, guys, that we are going to revisit our 10 questions from before the season started, okay?
Okay.
There's one question in particular I think we need to revisit.
Well, yeah, I mean, the, this
about
is...
about a receiver.
That, well, there's one of the things they're dealing with, right? I mean, who they, what's it going to look like when they take the field again? It'll be the same thing. They might get a couple of guys back, but... they don't have a ton of firepower. They don't have a lot of guys who change the game. And they're certainly hoping that Derrick Henry keeps getting better. I still have my questions as to just how good he is compared to what he has been at his very, very best. But, I mean, there's hope there at least. But other than that, I see a team with limitations in terms of talent. This is not a loaded team that's trying to take the next step after being a team that's been in a position to make noise in the playoffs and hasn't done it. You know what I mean? Like, are they better than they were last year on paper, the year before last? I don't think so. But I appreciate how well they can rally around what they do have. They can game plan. They can compete. They can claw and scratch and get the most out of what they have. That's probably their best attribute. But how far can that take you? Probably not where everybody wants to go.
No, I mean, at this stage, you know, they're 3-2 atop of their division. And after five games, you look at this team, and to be honest, they're just a mediocre team. That's just what they are. But they're coached really well. The personnel is mediocre, but the coach is an A+. I don't know, unless they... moving forward, they get healthier, but I don't know how much longer they can keep this up. I'm not going to sit here and you know, say that, oh, this Titans team is, you know, they're right in the thick of things and they're good and they'll be fine. No, they're honestly speaking, they're not. They've beaten three teams that are below 500, I believe right now.
Yeah.
Three of them below 500.
Okay.
They lost to the two teams that have winning records. If this is any other team, if this is the Colts, what are we saying about the Colts? That team ain't good. They lost to two teams with good records, and at this point they beat three teams that are don't look like they're playoff bound.
Yeah, Vegas sucks, Indy sucks, Washington sucks.
But what if Vegas wins tonight?
They're not a good
I would say if they win tonight, you put them in the same boat as the Titans of, they found a way, but I don't know how good they really are.
I mean, everybody probably did at one point say the Giants suck.
Yeah.
Right?
And look, right now,
the Giants are good.
That's a pretty good team.
But why are they good?
Their coach.
Their coach and their running back.
Coach and the running back. Yep.
Brian
Daboll is coach of the year right now.
And that's after 5 weeks. This could change. They could lay an egg next week. That is this league. It's making the most of what you have. But the Wi-Fi was not good in Prague. That was the one thing I tried to say.
Trust me,
my limited time in Prague, what I tried to say was, if you thought that was a should win, they should beat Washington. On one hand, I see it because they're a winning program. The Titans have been a winning program, and Washington has not. The Titans were how big of a favorite going into the game? Two?
No, it was even.
Actually,
I think it was even.
No, actually, it closed as they were the dog.
Exactly. My point.
The line moved quite a bit.
But we're all sitting there all week going, they should beat Washington, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And Washington's a bad team.
Yep.
But the line tells you something else. If you thought they were going
to
roll in there, if you were going to – Burks? Excuse me?
Look, I mean, they don't have anything else on receiver, so, like, you take him away.
Burks changed the line from – a two-point favorite to an underdog?
Well, Burks, Dupree, I mean, there was a lot
of guys.
Well,
okay, there was a lot of guys.
Amani Hooker didn't play.
But my point is, what has Burks done? He's done nothing, really. In the big picture, he's been okay. Mm-hmm. He's not a game changer.
Well, because I don't think they've let him do anything.
But he alone didn't change the line. The bottom line is this team knows how to win. But if you thought, in your mind, that they were just going to walk into Washington and beat them by two touchdowns, mm-hmm. that's not how this league works. Every Titans game goes down to the last possession.
But that's not
that's
because,
how they play.
No, that's not because of the league. That's just the team.
Yes, but that's most of the league as well.
But I'm saying that is just the Titans. You're going to have
They're not a juggernaut. There's probably five juggernauts in a given season, right?
Yeah.
Like the Bills are a juggernaut.
Yeah.
They've got it all
Kansas
rolling
City,
right now.
You figure as they continue
to
roll,
we think, yeah.
they'll be fine.
Yeah.
Miami, they get their quarterback back. If they ever do get him back.
I wouldn't put them in that class yet.
Their second string quarterback went down yesterday in Bridgewater. So they are reeling right now. You're right. You know, you got five teams that are legitimate teams, you know, whether it be AFC or NFC.
Yeah. I'm just saying. Is
you say
year
five?
In and year out. I'm saying
I'm saying in the whole – I'm saying
on
in the whole –
On the average
NFL.
In a year.
I'm not saying in the AFC. I'm just saying in the whole NFL.
Yeah, because like
on average in a given year, five teams by the year maybe separate themselves, and maybe not five. But you know what I'm saying? Like this is a league where it's not that big of a difference.
No, and I feel like that there's becoming even more and more parity, which I like. Like I'm cool. Like in the AFC right now, I would say there are two that I can go, yep, bona fide studs. And that's Buffalo and Kansas City.
Yeah, and then, I think Kansas City's still got a few questions.
Yeah,
marks.
Right. And that's
relative
that's fair.
To what they've been. Yeah,
that's fair. But like, I mean, Baltimore is you know,
not much margin for error,
right?
Not much margin for error, even though we think they're pretty good.
I mean,
I still believe the Ravens are a very good team that will be there at the end. But they don't have much margin for error.
But here's the difference, and I think. We're looking at the records, and we're saying, okay, you put all these teams together, they're all a cluster with the exception of Buffalo and Kansas City. And you're based on record, you're absolutely right. But here's the difference. We talked about Baltimore. They got a hell of a playmaker underneath center.
Yes, they do.
A hell of a playmaker.
And if I'm him, I'm continuing to note that every week because he still doesn't have the contract.
And they have receivers that are making plays for them. And they have the best, if not one of the best tight end in the National Football League in Andrews. That's just Baltimore. You look at Cincinnati, they got playmakers everywhere, including a quarterback, right? Okay, let's go down
but
to...
They have weaknesses, though.
We understand that. Let's go down to the Chargers. Playmakers everywhere.
Yep.
Everywhere. The quarterback's still a little dinged up. But they got playmakers everywhere. Who else you want to go? Miami. They got playmakers everywhere,
yes,
too.
They do.
But the guy that drives the engine.
Problem.
Yeah, the quarterback problem. That's just in the AFC. When you look at the Titans, they got one playmaker. As the season continues to go on offense, they got one playmaker. I don't know how much longer they can hold. That's my only concern. I don't know how much longer they can hold on to playing really good or subpar first halves and second halves don't even show up. Because even yesterday wasn't a great – if you take away that long pass, it was a pedestrian second half.
Sure.
Derrick Henry still – oh, he had a hundred. What did he have before half? Close to 100 yards, and he ended up not too far over 100 yards again.
Yeah, they've – in the second halves, the last 2 weeks in particular, I think offensively they have basically said – look, we think we can win this with our defense.
Mm-hmm.
Once they got the lead yesterday,
and they, have.
They got thank goodness they got the one play, which was a broken play, mm-hmm. but Westbrook Akine made a great adjustment to the ball in the air, and boom, they cash in. So they've been opportunistic. I think from that point on, it was let's just make sure we don't turn this ball over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were in good position to win the game when they had the ball at the 50. You know, I'm thinking, okay, this is your chance to win going away, and they couldn't quite do it. They couldn't quite do it. They have those limitations, but it's the complementary football. They basically put the dice out there and said, "I don't think Carson Wentz can win this game, so we're going to see if he can, and he almost did. And then he reared his ugly head on the last play.
The real Carson Wentz showed up.
Will the real Carson Wentz please stand up? Coming up next, there is something that the Titans have done quite a bit under Mike Vrabel that I'm not sure he gets enough credit for. And we will discuss that coming up next. We'll also take your calls and your texts, 615-737-1025. But I ask you this, can you beat Vegas this football season? Well, this is how you do it. Superbook Sports gives you the chance every week to go head-to-head with the best odds makers in Las Vegas, Nevada. No fancy computer algorithms, no guys across the pond setting lines for American sports, just the best team of odds makers in the business behind the counter at the Superbook in Vegas. Plus, Superbook features some of the best odds boosts and promo bets anywhere. They do. I took advantage of some of those this weekend, and I came out a winner. Whether you want to build a parlay, do a single bet, it doesn't matter. They have all of those things for you. And the best part is, if you're a beginner or you're experienced, they have a place for you. So download the Superbook Sports app, or you can visit superbook.com and start your battle against Vegas right now. Just visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
Well, man, it's just, you know, you got to find a way to win. And we know how to do that. And that's how sometimes it's going to be in this league. Defend every blade of grass. And guys came up huge at the end.
Mike Vrabel on the goal line stand at the end of the game that got them the win yesterday against the Washington Commanders. Welcome back in. Chase, Willie, and D. Mace, 1025-1063 the game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. So I believe that this is one thing that is a part of their identity, and it's been a part of their identity since Mike Vrabel became the head coach, that they finish. And you think about, they had the goal line stand yesterday. David Long comes up clutch with the interception. I can remember back to 2020, they had a goal line stand in Denver, I believe it was. They've had Josh Kalu coming up with plays at the goal line there at the end of games.
Monday Night Football last year against the Bills.
Yep, Monday Night Football against the Bills. This is a part of their identity, and I don't know if he gets enough credit for that sometimes, that is where I will say you find a way to win. And the fact that they're so good at that when the chips are all on the table, because, you know, that was one thing they were talking about on the TV broadcast. Like, well, you know, if you score here, like, do you let them score? Do you go down? Like, they've had all those conversations. Mm-hmm. He didn't give them a chance.
Yeah, game management. Mm-hmm. And to their credit, the announcer said it. That was a bad challenge by Washington on the
pass. It was horrible.
It was bad. And that Riverboat Ron.
I could have told you that wasn't a catch.
100%. And did it cost them? Absolutely. If you can run the ball from the 2-yard line after the pass interference because you have a timeout in your pocket and the defense knows that you can run it, might have changed everything. But everybody in the building knew they had to pass it, so that made it a little easier to defend them. Those are the little things that I think the Titans do well in. Nobody's perfect, but I think they do that kind of thing pretty well.
I think in that situation, say if the Titans were in that situation, 29 seconds left from the 2-yard line, I think Vrabel first play would have been a run play. No, seriously.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to run
but
the ball.
But there's risk involved there.
No. There's no risk involved in that. It's you run the football, you don't get it, you get back on the line of scrimmage, and you go. You still got three downs. You can even spike
it. Yeah, you could spike it once.
Yeah. So if you're going to run the football, run it on the first play. Don't throw it on the first play. Incomplete. Now you're stuck. Now you're stuck with running the ball. I mean, you're stuck with throwing the ball.
Yeah.
If you run the ball on the first play, they're not looking for that.
Yeah, and that's part of Washington's problem.
Exactly.
They can't run the ball.
They can't.
Period.
They can't run the ball.
they can't run it.
They can't run. They can't play. They can't coach. I mean,
yeah, I didn't
we
understand.
Love Ron Rivera, but he's not a good coach at this point.
No.
He's not.
It's a culture. It starts at the top, right? There's a reason why for however many years now, almost 30.
This has been a bad team.
This has been a bad organization.
Yeah.
They haven't had any success.
Yeah, and look, Ron Rivera, you know, coached, beat cancer, you know, while he was coaching. I mean, he's a great person.
Yeah.
But
it's not all him.
No. He doesn't have a lot to work with either. I think the Robertson kid out of Alabama is probably going to be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But what were you really expecting in his first game? The dude got shot. I mean, he's coming back, and you know they had what was interesting, and they were talking about this on the broadcast too. They had him in at the end of the game when I probably would have gone to Gibson, who has more experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
yeah, maybe. But he didn't. It's not like he was doing anything either. Like
no.
they tried to run it mm-hmm. a few times. They flat out couldn't run it, and then. The goal line stand, I thought was interesting. I went back and watched it a bunch of times.
Yeah,
this morning.
So we have Jared's film room. Now we have Willie's film room. You went and broke
yeah,
it down.
I mean, I'm not going to tell you I watched. First of all, I'm not a coach. I'm not going to act like I'm a coach. But what I saw on the last play, now Derek, you tell me, you know, details you can add because, first of all, everybody knows it's a pass because of the situation. But I thought Long did a really good job, and this the bigger theme is. I thought the Titans' game plan was, even though they gave up a ton of yards, how many yards did Wentz end up throwing?
359, I believe.
Yeah, so your fantasy team, if you had Carson Wentz, probably wasn't bad.
Points.
Probably wasn't bad.
Yeah.
But winning football, who did they take away? They took away Terry McLaurin. He's the best player they have on offense. They forced other guys to make plays, and
they did.
They did make some plays.
Yeah.
And one in particular, which to me should not have happened. But let's put that aside. But David Long, McLaurin is running the slant to the middle, right? And
yeah.
And so
he's the inside guy.
He's supposed to take David Long with him, right? If David Long goes one more step, then the lane might be open to throw it to the guy he was trying to throw it to, right? The running back, I forget who it was. But it looked like Carson Wentz, to me, sort of made his mind up before.
Where he was going.
And that's... Potter Carson Wentz's problem. But Long did a good job. He makes contact with McLaurin. He pushes him. Not only does he push him and break his route a little bit, he pushes him back away from the goal line, and there's help, right? They're playing zone there. And then he slides back and picks off the pass to the next guy. It was just a really good technique, I thought, by David Long. So it was a good scheme.
Yeah.
The Titans tend to be really good at that stuff. And what did it do? It exposed Carson Wentz of not making the right read at the critical time. He's got so many games where he's done that, where he his numbers look pretty good at the end of the day, right? Wentz, especially up until that play.
Yeah.
But he gets you beat. He gets you beat.
He always does something to get you beat, you know, ultimately in the end. That's Carson Wentz.
I'm going to say this. I think you can look at some of the underlying numbers – with this defense, and you can say that they're not very good. I think I saw a stat, they're 32nd in fourth down, you know, defense. But they goal line stands are making it happen. They're beat up. A ton of the injuries are on that side of the ball.
Yeah. Landry and Dupree.
Yeah.
Basically for two straight weeks now, they haven't had Landry or Dupree. Dupree played, what, five plays or six plays?
Yeah,
pretty much.
Jeffrey Simmons is the best player on the team. Well, best player on defense. Sure.
I think he's the best player on the team.
You think best player on
I
the team?
I think it's not even close.
So you'll go Simmons, Henry?
Oh, not even close.
Okay. Not even close.
Not even close. Derrick Henry, if you look at his numbers, they're not great. Like he's doing what he can. He's still
They're going to run him into the ground.
He's still great, but he's not the guy that has put the team on his back kind of great. Not yet. Still hoping there's another level there, but I mean, when you average less than 4 yards a carry, that's not out of this world stuff. Jeffrey Simmons is amazing what he's doing right now.
But I'm gonna make a rule now on this show.
Okay.
When something that is very obvious that has happened pretty much in every game this year happens, I'm just gonna start the show, and I'm going to go Caleb Farley.
He's not a defensive back. He's not. They can't make him a defensive back.
We're just going to play that.
Oh, boy.
Because that's basically – one more time.
He's not a defensive back. He's not. They can't make him a defensive back.
There you go. He's awful.
Yeah.
Like but they don't have a choice because they don't have any bodies. But he's awful. He's absolutely awful.
He's not – like I said before, if they want to try him at safety, I would do that. But he just doesn't have the awareness nor the flexibility to play the cornerback position. that deep pass, I don't know if that was the safety's fault or the corner's fault. The safety comes down. Is the corner supposed to stay? I think what happens on that play is it's almost like a cut. They're cutting the route. If he runs a stop or end, that safety's coming down, and he wants to intercept it or cut it. And Farley needs to stay on top of him for the long ball.
Yes.
Well, Farley didn't stay on top of him. Farley stayed right in phase with him, like guy to guy, and Farley can't run. Okay, Tennessee Titans, y'all need to explain to your fans. When y'all drafted this guy, y'all said he can run. Where did y'all get that from? Where did y'all get that Farley can run? Because case after case after case has shown me he doesn't have the foot speed to play that position. Yesterday was evident. He was basically side by side with the receiver, and the receiver just kicked in another level, and he couldn't catch him. He stumbled trying to catch him. He's not a cornerback. I don't know when the Titans are going to figure this out.
Yeah, I think he's played out of necessity right now.
I don't even know if he's that.
I would rather put him at safety and let him cover possibly like tight ends or running back. He's not a corner.
But this is again, Derek, where I'm going to give you credit, because I thought of you immediately when I watched that play, because we're not just sitting here on this show saying he stinks. All right, we're trying to tell you what the issue is.
Yeah.
There's two issues that both came together on that play. Mm-hmm. What have they been doing pretty well when this defense is doing what they're supposed to do? Again, they're not full of all pros, right? They got Jeffrey Simmons, they got Kevin Byard, and they're missing a couple of key guys that could mm-hmm. be game changers: Dupree, Landry, Cunningham, and then you lose Hooker. I mean, they're missing some key parts. So how are they trying to win? Bend but don't break. Mm-hmm. Don't get beat deep. Let's take McLaurin away. Let's see if Carson Wentz can go all the way down the field and score on us. We think he'll screw it up eventually. It was working. So what happens to Caleb Farley? A, he lets the guy – he's playing off the guy by 10 yards when mm-hmm. the play starts. He's way back there.
Yeah.
So he should get beat. The scheme, everything they're doing – now, maybe that play was different than the other plays. I could be wrong. But it seems to me like your basic mindset should be – don't let it happen in front of you. If I give up a 10-yard pass, okay. Don't let the guy run by me. So I think there was a mental mistake in there. So that's one of the things we've talked about. He seems to be making a lot of mistakes mentally in terms of the scheme. And then number two, we thought a first-round pick should have a lot of makeup speed. There's some guys mm-hmm. that screw it up, but they're so fast they can recover, mm-hmm. right? But that was a great example of he gets beat and there's not the recovery speed. He got beat by 3 yards. I mean, he was
ball.
Yes, and yeah. It's a guy that I've never heard of. I don't know who that guy is. I know who he is now. He made two great catches and scored.
We
two.
Know who he is
but
now.
But that was part of the game plan. Let's see if that guy and the Raiders number 10. That's the other guy. I'd never heard of him before that game.
These bad teams are good at taking bad players and making them good against the Titans.
And part of that is the scheme, right? Let's see if these guys can make plays. But that's where Farley, come on. We're trying to make your job easy. I'm not putting you on the best guy one-on-one and saying cover this guy the entire game. I'm just saying don't get beat deep. And he got beat deep. And he doesn't have the physical tools to make up for a mistake. That's a problem. That's a problem.
There were some bad calls from the officials yesterday, but there was one that I thought was totally egregious. We will discuss that coming up next as we take your reaction to the Titans also at 11:30. Mm-hmm. We're going to hear about Willie's trip to Prague and the Predators being the best team in the NHL right now. We will do that as we go along. It's Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason hanging out. Nick Kieser on the ones and twos. Our SEC Game of the Week, join Michelle Knezovic this Saturday at New Heights Brewing Company, located at 928 John Lewis Way, south in Nashville, for the SEC Game of the Week presented by BettingHero.com. They're going to help you enjoy your experience betting on mobile and maybe even buy you a beer. The fun starts at 2:30 on Saturday as Alabama takes on the Tennessee Vols. We will definitely discuss that as the week goes on.
It's a big one.
It's a huge week in sports.
I mean,
Preds home opener, Vols, Bama. Going to be a lot of fun. Cannot wait as we go along. All right. Yesterday, there was a call, and I tweeted that I thought it was weak. Bernard Pollard liked it, so I knew I was right. if a DB that liked to hit people likes my tweet. But the roughing the passer call on Jeffrey Simmons, that was egregious in my book. And they officiating crew missed on both sides. I didn't think they were very good.
Yeah, you're going to miss some. Here's something I asked Derek. I'll ask you as well, Chase, because in Tampa, was it in Tampa?
Yeah.
Wherever that game was. I think it was in Tampa, right? There was one that was even worse on Tom Brady.
Yeah.
So my question is, we review the targeting in a college football game, right?
Yep.
And I think they're getting better each year at figuring out what's targeting, what's not. There was some problems early. Same thing with goaltender interference in hockey. I think they get every year a little bit better. It's never going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. Should you be able to challenge a roughing the passer?
I think you should be because it's not like, you know, there are, you know, five roughing the passer calls a game. If that was the case, then, yeah, it slows up the game. You can't keep replaying. But you get, maybe one, maybe two a game? So to me, yeah, they should be, especially the Jeffrey Simmons ones. Simmons roughing the passer. It was incidental contact. He didn't do it trying to hurt the guy, being malicious or anything. It was just he went for the football and he sort of just hit his face mask
clipped it a little bit.
That is not
That's
a penalty.
Not a roughing the passer. That's not roughing the passer.
So I'm gonna answer your question this way. Because we played this game with pass interference.
Yes, we did.
And it failed miserably.
Yes, it did.
It lasted a year. Now, do I think the thought behind it was bad? Not at all. Because I think pass interference is still just one that they don't get right a lot.
They can call pass interference either way, all day, every day.
Yeah.
They want to.
There could be 10 a game.
Exactly.
Yeah, after the year where you could review it, I feel like I would need to go back and look, but I kind of feel like OPI has maybe gone up a little bit because they're trying to even it out and make up for it. But I think we can agree that pass interference is the one that if you were going to review a play, review a penalty, that's the one, and they did it, and it was abysmal. And how it works.
If they'd have stuck with it, just like.
I agree. That's where I'm going with this.
Targeting the first year was kind of a train wreck. There were some screw ups, big time.
It was awful.
Goaltender interference the first year or two in hockey was a mess. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew what was going on. So it takes time. I think they should stick with it.
I agree. Because I believe that with the challenge system, you should be allowed to challenge a penalty. And honestly, I'd be okay if it was any penalty that you wanted.
Any penalty?
However, I'm going to put the caveat on it that you get two challenges. All right? And right now the system is if you win both your challenges, you get a third challenge that you can use later. I believe that if they put in a rule and they say, hey, if you want to challenge a penalty call, go ahead. However, if you miss it, that's it. Like you could challenge like the spot of a ball.
But that's how it is now, right? With what you can challenge,
you can't what penalties can you challenge? You can't challenge a penalty. They tried it with pass interference.
Well, no, I thought you were talking about number of challenges, though.
No,
it cost Washington a very important timeout.
I'm saying you're adding the caveat that if you want to challenge a penalty, whether it's pass interference or roughing the passer or whatever. That's fine.
Right. You just don't get additional challenges.
Yeah. If you miss that, you lose.
Okay. I'm not ready to go as full scale as you.
Well, because think about it. Here's the comp for it. Mm-hmm. If you challenge offsides or you challenge, do you get the penalty with goaltender interference if you miss it?
In hockey now, you can challenge as many times as you want.
I know, but I'm saying if you miss it, you get the 2-minute delay of game.
Yes.
There needs
and
to
if
be.
You challenge, if you miss a certain amount, I think it's three, then it's a. It's a double minor.
And, like, I would be okay with that.
It's 4 minutes.
If you challenge the roughing the passer, and it turns out that the ref's got it right, then you get an additional five. Like, I'd be all right with that.
Yeah, you could do that.
If you want to add some
But here's what they didn't wait to do for the pass interference, and I think they could do the same thing with roughing the passer. It's designed to do what? Be a little safety valve for when the referee screws it up and misses one bat. But if everybody understands that they're not going to overturn it unless it's clear cut most of the time, and it's still going to be a gray area, then I think they wouldn't challenge it unless it's really, really clear, like it was in the Tampa game. And I think it was pretty clear in yesterday's game.
But you know,
but you'd have to design. You'd have to teach everybody. Look, this is going to stay. If this is not going to be overturned,
they would have to then change the rule on what is roughing the passer. Because even in that situation, I don't think it was roughing the passer, but they will always fall back on, well, you did hit the quarterback in the head. You did hit his face mask. So technically, by rule, that's a penalty. What they need to do is readjust the penalty, readjust the rule. You know, if they're going to – if we're going to allow the rule to be reviewed, then they need to redo the rule. Because even if they review that play, they're still going to say it's roughing the passer because you hit his, hit his face mask.
That's a good point. If it is the rule that no matter how hard you hit it, if you clip it a little bit, it's not up for interpretation.
Just like the Montez Sweat play when he took his helmet off.
That's
that was
cut.
Supposed to have been a penalty.
Yes.
But they let it slide. You know,
yeah.
And now can you go back and review that? If you would have, you'd have went back and reviewed and say, okay, by the law, by the rule of law, that's a penalty. So we got to assess 15 yards.
Yeah. That goes to what you're saying, Chase, is where do you draw the line on what penalties you could challenge and what you can't? But
I'd be curious of.
It's tough. It's just a thought on the roughing the passer, because that does seem to be like in real time, whoever is the head ref has got to make that call right there. And then when you go back and watch it, everybody is kind of like, ah.
Like that wasn't.
That doesn't look like that. Doesn't look like roughing the passer.
No, it wasn't at all.
There's the rule, right? If it's just we're going to make the rule. If you touch the face mask,
that's a penalty.
It's a penalty, which is debatable whether that should be the case.
Yeah. Well, you know, the rule is to follow the speed limit.
I always follow the speed limit, man.
No.
Teron Davenport coming up next. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.